Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you are excited for 2020. I'm not sure there's anybody who is going to miss this year. In fact, everybody I talk to more than any other New Year's Eve can't wait for the next year to come. Yeah, we all understand that December 31st and January 1st are just hours apart, and very likely tomorrow is not going to be a whole lot different than it is today, other than the fact that you get to throw away one piece of paper that had 12 months on it, and you get to hang up a new one that has 12 different months on it in a different year. And yet every New Year's Eve gives people an opportunity to have that kind of hope, to look back at what took place the previous year, look ahead to a next year, and always has this kind of idea that maybe things will be better. Maybe there is this promise of a better future. And so, New Year's Eve is a big deal for many. Perhaps you make a bigger deal or a less deal out of it, but every one of us probably tends to think that we review the last year, look ahead to the next one. We're going to have a chance to do that a little bit this evening through the words of our second lesson. We're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and focus really in on those last two verses of that lesson. And as we listen to what Peter was inspired to write, you and I are going to be reminded that even this year, even 2020, with all the stuff that's going on, nothing's changed. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Nothing's changed. As Peter gets ready to describe these couple of verses to you and to me, you and I are reminded that one of the things that never does change is that we keep falling apart. All flesh, he says. What he's about to say is not just the generalization, is not just one of those things that we sometimes just paint everybody with the same big brush. Everything that he has to say applies to everybody. Whether you are the one who is unknown by all the world except for the handful of people who live around you, or you're one of the greatest and the brightest and the best, and everybody knows who you are. All flesh is described in these words. He's quoting from Isaiah chapter 40. So this has been true in the days of Isaiah. It was true in the days of Peter. It's still true. Nothing's changed. All flesh, he says, is like grass. Green, growing. You can almost picture it kind of waving in the breeze on a nice summer day. We love it when that grass is green. There's that promise of life, there's that promise of vitality, and we think about how, as you and I live as human beings, that we're alive and we're vibrant and there's things that we can do as we live in this world. All flesh is like a flower of the field. Even as you picture that nice, serene pasture picture, perhaps, all of a sudden you've got this burst of color. You've got this flower that comes out, the best that it has to offer. And it comes with that vibrancy and it comes with that life. And we think about how all flesh goes with its ingenuity and its understanding and the opportunities and the gifts and the things that people can use to make this much world a better place. And while some of that is true, that's not really the comparison Peter is making. All flesh is like grass. The grass withers. Just when you thought the grass was never going to stop growing and your lawnmower was wearing out, August hits. The rain stops. And the grass dries up. And even if it wasn't a dry year, by the time you get to October, November, depending upon how soon it gets cold, the grass withers away. No matter how green it was, no matter how lush and thick your lawn looked, now it's just dead. No matter how vibrant your flower garden was with all of its colors and all of its blooms, if you can see it now, it's dead. Because the next thing that happens after everything withers is that it drops and it falls. For all that the world has to give, for all that flesh has to offer, all flesh is like grass, here, gone. The best that all flesh has to offer flashes onto the scene for a while and then drops away, perhaps replaced by something else. Nothing's changed. We're still falling apart. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason Peter is wrapping up this chapter and quoting from Isaiah. The reason that we keep falling apart is because of what he described a little earlier in the chapter. Back in chapter 1, verse 14, he said, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." We keep falling apart because of the ignorance and the evil desires that all flesh carries with us. The pages of the Scriptures are filled with ignorant people who are trying to solve and satisfy their evil desires. Adam and Eve wanted more wisdom. Abraham, in order to save his own skin, passed his wife off as his sister. David ran after Bathsheba and then had to cover it up by, or at least tried to, by murdering her husband. Peter denied, Judas sold their Savior. And history is filled with all of those people who in their ignorance are thinking they're going to find something, thinking they're going to contribute something, thinking they're going to stumble across something that's now finally going to fill and satisfy every desire that they have. Ignorance, evil. We keep falling apart. Nothing's changed. A couple of verses later, he says in verse 18, "Because you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers." All the things that flesh runs after, much of it is just empty. We put a lot of time and effort into getting something that is only going to rust away. We spend a lot of time making sure that we are paying for something that will eventually be destroyed or fall down. We're busy running after the latest fads, the newest thing, the neatest ideas, and all it does is leave us constantly empty because it can't really give us happiness. It just leaves us empty. Nothing's changed. We keep falling apart. And I suppose, unlike any other year, at least that we can remember, 2020 has borne that out. I mean, you think about all the things that we've had to deal with. Yes, 2020 has given us a few more things to deal with than what we're normally used to. All reminders of the fact that finally nothing's changed. We still keep falling apart. So you think about the disease and the pandemic that we're dealing with. You think about the strife that is going on. You think about the distrust that is happening. And if you really want proof that nothing's changed, and you really want proof that we're still falling apart, and just look at how we reacted to all of it. How I reacted by not helping, but reacted and added to the distrust by not really sure who I'm supposed to believe, and then I start spouting off my own ideas and just kind of riling other people up because of my ideas. Not really interested in what the world has to say, not interested in what others have to say, and then with some distrust, I start looking at other people, and I'm not sure I'm going to go along with what they say. I don't like that group because of what they say. I like this group because I've already decided I'm going to agree with them. Nothing's changed. We're still falling apart because of my own sinful desires that lurk within my heart, because of my own emptiness that's busy looking for all kinds of things to fill it, give me some happiness on my own terms and on my own ideas. Nothing's changed. All flesh is like grass, withers away, flies.
flowers fall. And then comes one of the most beautiful words in the Scriptures. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Nothing's changed. Yeah, we are still reminding ourselves how we keep falling apart. Our own sinful natures are busy trying to gain unity by pointing out everybody's differences. Whatever it is that's going on in this world, none of that is really new. Maybe heightened, but not new. This isn't new either. Nothing's changed. The word still stands firm. It has been here forever. It has been here as long as our Lord and our God has had this history going. There have been attempts to get rid of it. There have been attempts to rewrite it. There have been attempts to change it. But the word of the Lord stands forever, endures forever, because it's not just any word. This is the word of the Lord, who is unchanging, who keeps His promises. I am unchanging in His love and in His justice. That's the one who's doing the speaking, and it is the word of that Lord that now endures, remains, lasts. It's not going anywhere. Nothing's changed. The word still stands firm. And no matter what 2021 brings, no matter what 2022 brings, if that still comes, no matter how many years might lie out there yet, that word is going to endure forever. We may face other challenges. We may face even harder challenges. But whatever it may be, God's already out there. The Lord already knows what's happening, and the word of the Lord still stands firm. Nothing's changed. And then it's as if Peter picks up his Bible and he holds it up and he says, "And this is the word that was preached to you." Nothing's changed. This is it. Whether you're actually opening up a physical book like this, or you're looking at the app that's on your phone, or you're looking at sections that are reprinted in your worship folder, this is the word. This is the word that was preached to you. This is the good news. Regardless of 2020, regardless of 2021, no matter how much we keep falling apart, this word stands. You know of Jesus. You know that His perfect life is what God had made you and me to do, and it's what He sent Jesus to do in your place. This word tells you about Jesus' death. You know that you can't pay for sin on your own. We've been spending a lifetime trying, and it never works. He did it. He took His perfect life. He didn't have to pay for sin, so He could pay for yours. This word takes you to that glorious resurrection. The guarantee that nothing's changed. God's promises stand. That life, that death, that's yours. Because this word tells you that. Nothing's changed. You go back to those verses that we referred to earlier in this chapter. And even though we were focusing on the negative side of things at that time, did you catch what Peter was actually saying? As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. You used to be ignorant. We still struggle with those evil desires, but this word, which still stands firm, tells you that you are now obedient children. You are God's child. He adopted you at baptism. He tells you about it in this word. He's about to give you the very body and blood that He gave up for you to let you know that you belong to Him. We don't have to follow the old evil desires anymore. Now we want to follow our Lord and our God. Back to verse 18 again. Because you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. For all those times that we're busy running after all of these things that we think will give us happiness but only leave us empty, because we're always busy trying to make this world a better place without God. You've been redeemed from that. Bought back from that. This word stands firm. This word has been preached to you. This is the word that tells you you have been paid for in Christ. You're not stuck in that empty way of life anymore.
You're born again. No longer dead in sin. No longer enemies of God. But given that amazing gift of faith to know who your Lord and who your Savior is. Nothing's changed. This word still stands firm. So as anxious as you and I might be for 2021, as much as we may be ready to leave 2020 behind us and hope for something better, nothing's changed. Probably safe to say that 2021 will give us another opportunity to watch Satan and our own sinful natures try to wreck us once again. He's done that with every other one of God's gifts. Why would he stop now? But 2021 also is a reminder that there's another opportunity to hear the Word. More opportunity to gather around that amazing gift of our Lord and our God, and reminders that His Word will still stand firm. And with that in mind, we wrap up this year. We get ready for the next one, whatever it may be, rejoicing in the fact that because of this Word, nothing's changed. Amen.